All right, let's start. So we're at the beginning of Perek Lamed, chapter 30. All right. So let's just summarize the previous chapter. So the previous Perek, the Alter Rebbe explained what a person should do, what the Benyani should do, and of course, for sure, someone is less than a Beini, what he should do if he's experiencing Timtum Halev. Timtum Halev was the blockage of the heart, right? Which is sort of preventing the person from having this feeling of being drawn to godliness, having Avas Hashem, the love of Hashem, and so on. And he said that this has to do with the Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul, that he's blocking the neshama. The neshama is not taking hold. And he brought the analogy of from the Zohar, that if there's a piece of plank, a piece of wood, that's not catching fire, it's because it's too big and it's too thick. It needs to be splintered, it needs to be broken up. So he gave a whole bunch of strategies, essentially dividing into two, the first part of the chapter and the second part of the chapter, how this can happen. The first part of the chapter really had to do with breaking oneself a little bit, in other words, splintering up oneself a little bit for a good purpose, obviously. Dedicating time to reprimand and to sort of not reprimand, but to like break the nefesh habamis, the animal soul. And he went in to explain because that is the person. For most people, that is the conscious person. The conscious person is not the neshama. The conscious person is the nefesh habamis, and therefore you need to understand how the klippa has affected you. How just by being a nefesh habamis means that there's a certain klippa, there's a certain cover up of kedusha, and that means that you now are distant from Hashem. Especially when you start to think about the things you might have done wrong in previous early on in your life, or permitted indulgences or thoughts or whatever. And so on. He went on different types of ideas. Even if a person things didn't do averus when he was young, but not all his thoughts were holy and all that kind of stuff. All that has strengthened the blockage of the neshama. Perhaps also Hashem wants him to go to a higher tshuva, and if his tshuva today is not so accepted as it was, and so on and so forth. Then in the second part of the perek, he talked about a second thing that you do, and that is once the neshama starts to take hold a little bit, then you switch and you sort of identify with the neshama. The neshama, so in an outward way, in a superficial way, the person is the nefesh habamis, right? Is the animal soul. But inwardly, we said it's the nefesh of a kiss, the godly soul, and therefore, now the godly soul can start talking, and he went through that whole idea of the godly soul screaming, screaming at the nefesh habamis, you're a lowlife, you're this, you're that, right? And sort of minimizing its strength and its power to further take hold for the timtum halev to go away, the blockage about to go away, and for the neshama to take hold. Okay, that was the previous chapter. Today, Perek Lamed, the 30th chapter, Alter Rebbe goes into another strategy, how to do that, right? And the commentary on Tanya used to explain that it's very specific, the order. In other words, the theme of this chapter is going to be humility, to be humble, right? And why does it come after the last chapter? Because even if a person really understand his lowliness or his distance from Hashem and so on, right? So that will be something, in other words, even if we accomplish exactly what we explained in the last chapter, we're going to come to that realization. That's a realization we come to between us and Hashem. It doesn't make us lower than other people. It could be that everyone's like that. Although it's everyone's distant from Hashem. In other words, I can still have the feeling, okay, I'm distant from Hashem, I'm breaking my nefesh habamis, I'm putting it down, I'm splintering it so that the fire of the nefesh lakis can take hold, all of that. But still, I'm doing better to other, relative to other people, I'm doing pretty well. Right? Anyway, by the end of this chapter, we will have dispelled that myth. Right? And that's the thing. Now, so let's see. So, Alter Rebbe says as follows. Oid, it's chapter 30, right? Oid yosim el liboy. Oid yosim el liboy. Furthermore, you should take to heart, says Alter Rebbe. Like, in other words, to deal with the Timtum HaLev. L'kayem Maimer Hazal, to fulfill the saying of Chazal. The Chazal tell us, I think it's in Pirkei Avos, if I'm not mistaken. Pirkei Avos. They have a Shval Ruach Bifnei Kol Odom. You shall have a humble spirit, a lowly spirit, in the face of all humanity. All people, all Odom. Right? But should be humble. Be humble before everyone. Now, what does that mean? Says the Alter Rebbe, it's not just like some commentaries explain. What it means is you should always, even if you're great, and even if you're greater than other people, but you should always act in a humble way. Says the Alter Rebbe, no, that's not the pshat. Pshat is veheve be'emes la'amitoy. You should truly be humble. You should always consider yourself lower than other people. Why? And he says, bifnei kol ha'odom mamish, in front of all people, mamish all people, right? Afilu bifnei kal shebekal. Even before a person who's considered a kal shebekal. Now, I just need to explain the terms. Let's just give the set the scene here. Now, the Rebbe is talking to a Beinoni. All right? Again, we've explained this many times. He's talking to a Beinoni, but we can learn a lot from it because it certainly whatever applies to a Beinoni certainly applies to the aspiring Beinoni, right? But a Beinoni is pretty high up there. I mean, a person doesn't do Averis. He doesn't do anything he's not supposed to do. He learns all the time. He davens well, right? Okay, he's having a problem with Timtum HaLev, but it's not bad, right? Contrast that with what the Alter Rebbe refers to as a Kal Shebekalim. I don't know how to translate it, but it means the guy's pretty low down there. I looked in the English Tanya. It says, most religiously irreverent. I don't know what that means.
Disregarding of
like, takes Torah Mitzvahs lightly. Okay, there we are. Okay, so a person who's like, yeah, maybe, you know, he doesn't take things seriously, brother, right? Doesn't okay. So he'll do an Avera, he'll this, he'll that, you know, he doesn't really care. I mean, he's Jewish, he's part of the community, maybe he's in TB, maybe even he's considered himself religious, but he doesn't really care, right? So that's a pretty big contrast, the Beinoni versus the culture of a color, right? I was thinking, by the way, as I was learning this parak, that the Kal Shebekalim, when we talk about the Kal Shebekalim, who the Alter Rebbe says is held responsible for himself, but we still have to be humble before him, as I'll soon explain. I don't think it's referring to what we call today people who aren't religious, because we have a different category for all those people who don't do any mitzvahs, and that's today people just ignorant, they don't know, right? Kal Shebekalim is someone who knows and who just doesn't care, right? It's not hard to be humble before someone actually has made a shift in their life from knowing nothing. That's understood. But here we're talking about someone who's really a problem. In other words, he's a culture of color. He knows, he's learned, he grew up that way, he knows what's right, and just doesn't care. Right? So I think that's the setting here. But even that person, which in a way is worse than the person who didn't know anything, you know, it's not about how many mitzvahs a person does, it's about the attitude also. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the person who grew up not knowing anything, we call it today the, even halachically it has a lot of consequences, we call it today the Tinok Shenishba, the captured child. Like the Gemara talks about a child that was captured among non-Jews and doesn't know better, right? Okay, anyway, whatever it is, I just thought that, I mean, that's my, hope, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I think that's the truth. Okay. So he says, yeah, even a Kal Shebekalim. By the way, this idea that the Chazal tell us they have a shval ruach, should be humble before everyone, and the Alter Rebbe says it means really humble, not just act humbly, but actually really be humbled before each person. So the Friedrich Rebbe told a story that there was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe called Reb Shmuel Elia Mekalisk, and he once went into Yechidus to the Alter Rebbe. It was the first time he went into Yechidus. It was a very big chassid. And he asked the Alter Rebbe questions about his service of Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe answered him what it says here in Tanya, that you should be truly humble before each person. Right? And he says, and he quoted what it says in the Tanya, Alter Rebbe quoted from his own Tanya, that it means emes lamitoy, like really truly, right? So after he heard this, this chassid didn't go into Yechidus, even though it was available to him, but he didn't go into Yechidus with Alter Rebbe for 20 years. He decided until he can really internalize this message and really feel that way, he's not going back to the Alter Rebbe. So he said he really needs to be able to understand, to internalize it and feel it on all layers of his neshama. And even though he really wanted to go into Yechidus, but it took him 20 years to succeed, what he felt was really a sincere fulfillment of this instruction. And when he finished that, then he went into the Alter Rebbe again. Okay. Obviously, it's not on our level, which just shows you how hard this is, but nevertheless, this is the journey. Okay. Now, what does that mean? So like this. Why do we have to feel ourselves humble? Why does the Beinoni even have to feel humble before the culture Mekalim, right? The irreverent, whatever you call it. First of all, he says, because you can't judge this, the Alter Rebbe gives a couple of layers here of how this works. Number one, very simply, it's according to the saying of Chazal, do not judge someone else until you reach his place. Right? Place could mean physical environment, the way he explains it here, it could be circumstance, whatever the case is, right? We have to think that yes, maybe he does more averis than I do. Maybe he doesn't learn as much as I do, but it's his place, it's his environment that's causing him to fail. For example, he gives us this idea. He says, for example, talking about a Beinoni maybe that's spending hours of davening and learning and so on and so forth. And this Kal Shavu Kalim, he's in the marketplace, right? Leo's Parnasasi, where does he get his sustenance from? Leilech Bashuk Kalayim. He's walking in the marketplace the whole day. Not only that, Leo's Miyoshvei Kronos. It's two categories here. Someone that's in the marketplace running to do business, but then there's someone who's like in the corner of the marketplace, you know, and he's half the day socializing with his friends, like he's more immersed in the marketplace environment, right? And therefore, it's hard not to be influenced, right? And therefore, what happens is, V'ein of royes kol ha'taivus, his eye sees all that he shouldn't see. V'ha'ayin roye v'ha'lev choymed, we know a principle in Chazal, the eye sees and the heart desires. And v'yitzroi, and his yetzahara boyer kesanur boyer rebbe oife, so Pasuk he quotes here, his yetzahara is burning with an unbelievable fire. He's got a very strong yetzahara. What do you want from the guy? Like it says in Hosea and Tanakh, who boyer ka'esh lahava, burning like a flaming fire, right? Okay. So therefore, the Beinoni thinks to himself, you know, I think I'm so great. I think I'm so better than that person, right? Mishahoylech bashuk maat. The person only he goes once in a while. He has to do stuff in the market, right? I mean, he's giving a moshul of the shtetl of a market, but I mean, this can be applied to all circumstances. In fact, more today than before. Right? The market today, as we call it, is terrible, right? The street. So as someone who doesn't frequent that much, most of the day is in his house. And even if he does have to go frequently out, maybe maybe your yetzahara is not so burning, but certain people have stronger yetzaharas than others. Because there's the yetzahara is not equal to all people. Yes, Yitzhak is some of them more burning Yitzhak, some not. Mishan is Boim Mokamacha, the way it's explained in other places. In other words, he says, you don't know how you would be if you would be in that person's circumstance, maybe you'd be worse. That's the point, right? You know, there's an interesting story in the Gemara that the Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara were discussing a certain halacha. And it had to do with meal times, how you're supposed to cut the challah, the whole story. You know, it was a difficult situation, they had a difficult question, they couldn't solve it. So Rav Ashi, one of the great Talmudic sages, he went to sleep and he had a dream. And in that dream, King Manasseh was a king during the first temple. And he was known as a big Rasha, actually, a big wicked person. Oh, why was the King Manasseh coming into him? Because, I remember the whole story now. Because there was a discussion in the Gemara about, it says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek Al Mabo. All Yidden have a portion of the world to come, and there are a few exceptions. And there's a discussion with the Gemara where the Melech Manasseh, King Manasseh, actually was so bad, maybe because he served idols, and there was a terrible epidemic of pagan worship in the first temple, the first Beis Hamikdash, maybe he doesn't come to the Elam, even though he did Shuvah at the end of his life. Maybe it wasn't good enough, whatever the case is, right? So then they had this question, they were discussing this halachas of cutting bread, and they had this question. So King Manasseh came to him in a dream, and in a brilliant Talmudic way, solved the question for him. So Rav Ashi said to Melech Manasseh, "You're such a Talmud Chacham. Why do you serve so much Avodah Zarah?" So he told him, he said like this, this was a good lesson, he said, I want you to know, if you would have lived in my time, I can tell you for sure, they used to wear long coats in those days, he says, you would pick up the hem of your coat to be able to run faster to serve Avodah Zarah. Right? So like, don't judge. Right? Don't judge. It ties in with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says there was a whole story where the Anshei Knesset HaGadoyla, the men of the Great Assembly, saw the Yetzirah was very strong, so they wanted to kill the Yetzirah. They wanted to capture the Yetzirah, kill the Yetzirah. But it's a funny story. The Gemara says that they did that, they were successful. And then, the next day, there was no eggs to buy in the marketplace, there was nothing, because if there's no Yetzirah, there's also no physical desires. Right? So they realized they did the wrong thing. This is not the way the world works. But they were successful, it says, in killing the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. In other words, we can't understand it today. I mean, there's different Avodah Zarahs today, but more spiritual ones, metaphorical ones. But actual pagan worship, to stand there and bow down to a getchka, I mean, that's like ridiculous, right? Although it's come back a little bit. They still do it in some parts of the world, but like in India. But but nevertheless, by and large, a regular year doesn't have a tithe. It doesn't have a desire to bow down or to pray to like a statue. But in times of the first presumption, it was still there. It says, so don't judge. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, it says like this. He inserts now, okay, so therefore the Bain has to be humble before that person, even the cultural color, because you don't know, he doesn't know how he would be if he'd be in that person's case. Okay. Now, in parentheses, Alter Rebbe says now, Hine. That doesn't mean that person is off the hook. In other words, there's a difference between how you view someone and how the person should view themselves, right? He says, "V'emes, the truth is, gam mishu mechumen bo'ed b'tivo, even if someone is very fiery yetzahara, parnasos elis v'yeshakarnas kol hayom, any circumstance to have parnasis that he's sitting amongst all the low laughs in the marketplace, the truth is, ein lo yishum isnatzlus, he has no excuses, al chatoev chazaveris." Umikra Rasha Gomer, and he's still called the Rasha, like we explained before. Allah Shain Pachad the Lakim Negad Einav, because he has no fear of Hashem, right? Because the truth is, every Yid has the capacity to serve Hashem. Because he should have held himself back and he should have had self control. Because the fear of Hashem, a royal Kumasa, which we know will see all your deeds. Kimoshin is Balak, like we said before. Ki Amoyach Shalit Alalev Betolgosi. The brain rules the heart. That was the foundation of Tanya. In other words, like this, a person should never look at himself that way. So, you know, I'm okay, I'm doing various, but you know, I'm in the marketplace and this, that, and yeah, that's not the point. No, a person should be much harsher on himself than that, right? A person should know, I can control myself, Hashem sees everything I'm doing, I should do better, I should serve Hashem, I should not do various. Okay, that's the person's cheshbon, the person's calculation for themselves, right? But the way the Beinoni looks at that person, especially the Beinoni who is struggling with Timtum Aleihem and wants to sort of soften his Nefesh HaBamis and splinter it a bit, he needs to understand that, you know, you think you're so great, that's a problem, you're blocking. There's a sliver of arrogance in you, right? Which you have to deal with by becoming humble. Humble before every single person, even that person who's like that, the Kol Shel Kolim, because you don't know how you'd be if you'd be in that situation. Number one. Now, secondly, the Alter Rebbe says like this, V'hinei be'emes, the truth is, it's not about that he shouldn't judge, it's actually more than that. A person needs to realize like this, that the truth is, the war with the Yetzirah is a very big war. Shimulchama gedoyla va'atsuma. It's a great war, it's a great struggle, that we know. Lishpar ha'yotzer, to break the Yetzirah, ha'bo'er ke'esh lahova, which is burning very strongly with the fire. K'moy nisoy mamash, it's a real test, right? Yeah. Two, for himself, the culture of a Kalim needs to know that he has no excuses. But the truth is, he has no excuses because we're supposed to fight the war and we're supposed to overcome the war. But you need to know it's like a very big struggle, right? Therefore, because it's a struggle, therefore, every person at his level, or his place, his circumstance, Umadrigosa and his level b'avodas Hashem, every person lishkol v'lifchoin ba'atzmo. Every person should evaluate themselves and say to themselves, imu oved Hashem be'erech u'bechinas milchama atzuma kozoi u'nisoyen kozoi. Do you fight the war? It's a question every single person has to ask themselves. Are you fighting the war? That could be a different war. But are you fighting it? Understand? What does that mean? Bebchinas va'asei tov. In the realm of doing good. What does that mean? It's like this. We're talking about a Beini, right? So Beini doesn't do any averis. That's what we learned before. Right? He's in control of his thought, speech, and action. Okay, so we have in Yiddishkeit, we have sur meira, va'asei tov. We say, move away from bad and do good. Right? Okay, simply put, sur meira is lois asei, negative commandments. Asei tov is positive commandments. But really, it's more than that. It's all mitzvahs are, I mean, if a man doesn't put on tefillin, so tefillin is a mitzvah saseh. Not putting on tefillin is evil. So of course, sur meira, moving away from evil, obviously means he's putting on tefillin, right? And asei tov is not if you do the mitzvah, it's how you do the mitzvah, right? In other words, the good part, the positive. So it's safe to say that a person who's taket really a beginning, okay, so he looks at a kol shebekalim. Okay, he's humble because he's not judging him, but it's much more than that. He has to say, what do you mean I'm not judging him? It's more, am I like him? And in other words, he's not being successful with the war, right? He's got a yetzahara to look at things he shouldn't look, to do things he shouldn't do, whatever the case is. He's disrespectful, he doesn't care. Which means he's not overcoming the war. So the Beini should look at himself and say, one second, who said I'm overcoming the war? Now which war? So we'll grant him, the Beini, that he doesn't have a war. Or not a big war. He's gotten used to overcoming the war when it comes to sur meira. Okay, so he doesn't do anything wrong. He's not in trouble, right? But are you really overcoming the war when it comes to doing good? What do you mean? For example, kegoyin. For example, ba'avodas ha'tefillah b'kavona. Are you really davening with kavona, with real intention? Lishpoich nafshei lifnei Hashem, to pour out your soul before Hashem b'chol koyche mamash, with all your strength, ad mitzuya nefesh, until the core of your being. You do that. Right? Maybe not, right? Or are you fighting with your nefesh abamis? Hamoinim kavana, which stand in the way of your kavana. Mil milchama atzuma, with a real war. Ulevacham, to break the nefesh abamis. Ulekatzam gofer, to break it down into dust, so to speak. Koinem atfila, before tefila, before davening. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to, before davening, you're supposed to reflect on the lowliness of man and the greatness of God, right? Shachris ba'avis, both morning and night, midah yom v'yom, every single day. Do you do that properly? Have you done it to the point where it's hard for you and you're overcoming the war? So it's a different war, but the bottom line is maybe you're just the same. You're exactly the same as culture. Not only you don't judge him, because if you would be in the situation, be the same. Maybe you are the same. Maybe you are the same. I mean, you're not the same. Obviously, you're putting on tefillin for a long time. You're davening b'kavana. You're doing the mitzvahs better than the culture b'kalim is doing it. Right? Okay, I understand that. But are you fighting the war? Or are you not fighting the war just like he's not fighting the war? And it's a different war. Right? The Gamma Shastra, even at the time of davening, Le'ageya Atzma, you're really toiling and really pushing yourself. Be'egiyas nefesh, be'egiyas basar, mentally and physically. K'moshis broila kamon, like we can explain later by Rikos at great length about what davening really looks like, right? Therefore, he says, anyone who's not reached there yet, to really fight with his body, this unbelievable war. So I die in lo yigia lebchinas ve'erech milchemes hayetzer. Anyone who's not reached that is not fulfilling the idea of fighting the war with the yetzer. To be subdued and to be surrendered, because Hashem is looking at us in the fear of Hashem, right? So therefore you're the same to the Beini. That's why you come to this humility, be'emes. You're looking at someone who's in a different league to you, seemingly so much lower. The truth is, not first of all, you can't judge him. Second of all, maybe you are like him. He's not successful in the Muhammad. He should be, but he's not successful in the war against these Esara nor you. Are you doing so many good things yet, but did you fight a war? This is the point. Everyone's got to fight a war. Everyone's got to really overcome the war, right? So he talked about davening. He says, not only davening, he says lots of things. Same thing with benching after you eat. And you make a bracha before you eat. To really make them with proper intention. Of course you make a bracha every time you eat. Of course you bench every time you eat. But are you doing it like a kavona, or are you just doing it? No? Yeah. How much more so also the idea of kavona, so mitzvah shema, to have kavona to do the mitzvah for the right purpose, the right intention, etc., etc. That's brachas. The chayim, the inyan, esek, limud ha-Torah, the same thing with learning Torah. Right? Lilmoy, the harbe, yoysim, mecheft, are you learning Torah? But are you pushing yourself? Are you learning much more than you want to, much more than you have a desire to? If you tiva eragusa, more than you're accustomed to, al deil mulchoma atzuma im gufay? Are you having that war? Are you pushing your body? Are you pushing yourself to learn more than you think you're comfortable with? Maybe not. Right? And not just a little bit more, a lot more. Because you learn a little bit more than your nature, that's nice. Harezu mulchoma ktana. That's a small war. Right? Ve'ilo erech v'dimin al mulchemas hayetzai borek ha'esh. But you cannot compare it to a war against a fiery Yetzirah. So you're looking at this Kal Shavakalim who's not winning the war. But that's not the war of doing a little bit more, a little bit out of his comfort zone. You're looking at a big war that he's got, because he's like got a fiery Yetzirah and he's sitting there in the marketplace. No, are you fighting a war like that? Are you learning much more than you can? Okay. There was a great chassid, his name was Itcher the Masmid. I think I told you about it before. Just understand what the war means, right? Richard Masri was a Yid. He lived in Russia. He was a Hasid of the Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe. He was killed in the war. He was killed in August. And he was in Poland, actually, afterwards, I think. And him and two other great Hasidim were burnt in a shul together by the Nazis. You know, he was the, he was called the Itch the Master because he never wasted a moment, right? But he also, he's done very long, so he wake up, but he only ate once a day. He was very, very big. He was very, like, every mitzvah, everything was very, very, very careful with. And he wake up in the morning, he would learn Chassidus, and he would daven for hours and hours and hours. When he'd finish, I guess he'd daven mincha, and then afterwards he would just wash for a small meal. He's very careful in kashrus. He used to travel a lot for the previous Rebbe, even travel to America for a little bit. But he would always take his own little food in. Not trust anyone's kashrus. It was like a very, you know. And then he would help people. He would then collect money for the Friedrich Rebbe in America. And he was such a great Yid that he once came to America, and he came to a shul. He was davening and learning there, and people thought that he's the Rebbe. He's the Friedrich Rebbe. Because he looked like such a holy Jew. Until he brought the news to him, he's not the Rebbe, he's just a chassid. So they said, oh, if that's what a chassid looks like, imagine what the Rebbe is, right? Okay. So one time he stayed by someone in America, and because what he used to do, he would hardly sleep, and he would then, when he was finished all his davening and learning during the day, then he would learn at night a long time. And one time, I heard the story, I read it in his Bible, there's a book about it. So this Yid was a simple Yid in America, and he hosted him, he was very happy to host him. And one time this guy got up in the middle of the night, the place was like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, but he had to go to the bathroom, exactly, this host. And he saw that the door to the Rebbe of the Masri's room is a little bit open, and the light's on. So he thought maybe he forgot to put the light, he made a little favor. So he was about to put his hand in and try to turn off the light, and he kind of peeked in and he saw that Rebbe of the Masri is sitting by a table, and his feet are in icy water to keep him up, so he shouldn't fall asleep, so he should just keep learning. That's what you call having a big war. Anyway, okay. It was very interesting. He couldn't understand the American materialism. You have to understand, he was in Poland, right? It was before the war, he came to America, and he had a bit of a taste of America in those years. So he wrote back to home, he wrote a letter to, you know, just to make contact. And he said, it's a famous line, he said, Kan oichlim, he said, over here in America, you know what kind of places he says? Over here people eat katlet mamash, actual meat, b'chol yoyim, chas v'shalom, rachman al-islam. couldn't understand the indulgence of America that people eat meat every day. Meat was something on Shabbos, maybe. So. Anyway, that's the kind of Jew war. I'm just thinking when you're talking about a big war. Not just that 2 minutes extra, it's also good. Everything extra is good, but anyway, talking about how you become humble. Are you fighting a big war against Israel? Okay. And then he says, and what's the difference? He says, what's the difference? The fact that you, the Benyamin, you're okay when it comes to not doing bad. Yeah, there you're not fight, you don't have to, right? And the culture of Kalim is not. But what's the difference if it's fighting the war in bad or fighting the war in good? Same thing, same opportunity to fight a war. It's all the same war for Hashem. So if you're not fighting a big war, so you need to be humble before the culture of Kalim. Same thing, the other mitzvahs, especially when it comes to monetary things, are you really pushing yourself? Are you really giving enough? And so on and so forth, right? Okay. Or maybe like, you know, sometimes you mention something that might be derogatory to something else. I feel like gnai cotton, even if it's very small, after emes, even if it's true. I feel like they can nakas atzma, even to exonerate yourself. Quotes from the Gemara says, "Kanoi the modu omer abshuman la'oviv rabbeinu ha'kodesh." Rebbe's son, Reb Shimon, Rebbe once looked at a get that wasn't, he said it wasn't written correctly. And his son had showed it to him, Reb Shimon, not Reb Shimon by Yechor, Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe. And he said to his father, it wasn't actually me, Lava no kase, it wasn't me, El Yehuda chayto kase, it was the Yehuda, he wrote it. Otherwise, it's not me actually, we have to talk to him. But Amaloyin, his father said to him, that's not right, he was a big tzaddik, but his father said to him, Kalech Lashnara. You should move away from Lashon Hara. It wasn't actually Mamash Lashon Hara appointed the technical laws of Lashon Hara, but it was a little bit of a thing. Like it says in the Gemara, it says that Reb Shimon fasted many, many days to atone for that one little thing that he did, right? Like it says in the Gemara, B'nei Yabo Abasra. Uchei agavna mikama minu d'shri chetuva, many things like that. Many things like that. Even the Beni can find little things that maybe he doesn't do 100%, which he hasn't fought the war properly. Ubifrat, he says, and especially lekadosh atzmoi b'mutarloi, especially in things about sanctifying yourself in the area of things that are permitted. Right? We learned that before. Shu actually with the Raisa, it also comes from the Torah. Meshkosu kadoshim tiyu viskadishtim, like the Torah said, we have to be holy. In other words, have you fought the war properly? Like you never ever eat anything that's maybe a little bit what you don't need? Maybe you thought it was, but did you really reflect, that you really do, right? All that kind of stuff. That's all part of becoming humble, the gamdi, very surfing, even things which are only rabbinic, which we know, according to the Medrash, sometimes are stricter. Hamurim mit divrei Torah. Okay. That's part two. Then comes part. So the first part is, don't judge him. Second part is, maybe you're the same. You look better, maybe the same. You're also not fighting the war. Part three is you're actually worse than him. Why? Right? First and second is why. Because, Ella, Shakol Elo, all these things we said before, right? All these like deficiencies of the Beni Marav, all fall into the category of something actually that is this week's parasha, really. Interesting, we're learning it today. You know, this week's parasha is parasha's Akev, right? And the Torah says, if you keep the Akev, the simple pshat of the pasuk is, Akev Tishman, if you will listen to Hashem, you will get the reward and Hashem will make the covenant. But it doesn't say im, when, or mishum. Use the word Akev. So Rashi brings, Akev means a heel, and it refers to the mitzvahs that people tread on with the heel, right? There's a certain category of mitzvahs that, you know, a person who's strict, a person who serves Hashem, obviously going to put on tefillin, obviously going to keep Shabbos, whatever, but then there's like little things that you just trample on, which is, you know, you ignore, you forget, whatever the case is. That's the kind of category of things we're talking about making a comment about someone else, or eating more than you should, or all those kind of things, right? Or maybe not davening 100% with kavana. The gam nasu kehetter, and also what happens is with time, that you don't even see them as averus, you see them as things which are permissible. Because the Gemara says when you keep doing something, it becomes now, therefore, like this. He says, Avol be'emes, the truth is, talking to the Beinia again, right? Imu yedea sefer. Right? If you are knowledgeable, umachzik b'toyres Hashem, and you uphold the Torah of Hashem, the kirva selekim yachbas, and you're a person that really wants to be close to Hashem. That's what you are. That's what you. That's why you're a Beinia. You only don't want to do anything that's distancing you from Hashem. That's what you are. You're a person that wants to become close to Hashem. Then you have no excuse. The gadol avoyna minasoy. Therefore, your avera is very great. The hashmosay gadloy. Right, the kiflei kiflaim, and your guilt is much more double. The mash enilcham, the fact that you're not fighting that war properly. Umisgabral yitzray be'eruch b'chinas b'chom atzum b'kanal. The fact that you're not fighting that war that we described before, not only are you the same as the kalsha b'kalim because you're not fighting a war, but you're greater. You're worse. Why? Me'ashmas kalsha b'kalim kronoi serachoykim Hashem v'terase. At the end of the day, the kalsha b'kalim is in that environment. He's sitting with all the lowlifes of the world. He's in bad company anyways, in a bad environment, right? And he's not fighting the war. But you're not fighting the war, but you know about Hashem. You want to become trust Hashem. And you're not fighting a war, so you're much worse. Therefore, their guilt, the kalsha b'kalim's guilt, is not so strong. The fact that they don't conquer the Yetzirah, Haboir ke'esh lahava, which by them it's burning strong. Me'pachad Hashem, ha'meivi numabir is called maseim. Right? That's the story with the kalsha b'kalim, but it's not as bad ke'ashmas as the negativity of kol ha'korev ha'korev al Hashem. To all those that are closer to Hashem, v'alterose v'avedose, to His Torah and the service of Hashem. Right? Lochei nomur azal. And that's why Chazal tell us, Al Ami Ha'aretz, about the Amaratz, about the ignorant, or the Kalsha B'Kalim, similar thing, right? It says, Shizdoinus nasu lehem kishgogos. It says that their intentional averas are actually considered by Hashem as unintentional. Because they don't know better, in a way. Now again, we're not talking about someone that doesn't know anything, because then it's maybe not even, then it's not even treated as an unintentional error. But talking about a person who knows, he knows what to do, but he just doesn't do it, right? Because he's not in that space, right? So he's still held responsible, Alter Rebbe says before. At the end of the day, what we said in the beginning of Tanya, that every person has the capacity for moyach shalit alalev, that the brain can rule the heart, applies to him also, and he's got to take responsibility, and he shouldn't excuse himself on any level. But the truth is that there is some favorable judgment. Bottom line is, they don't know better than a bad company, than a bad environment, or education, whatever the case is. Bottom line is that they're not in the space. They should learn, and they should try harder, and they should fight the war, all good. But at the end of the day, there's a chazal that says, but we see in the Gemara, that Hashem will treat it like unintentional affairs, right? I mean, there's a concept in the Zohar that says that really, at the end of the day, every Yitzhaver is unintentional. No one really wants to be separate to Hashem. Okay, but that's on a more sort of subtle level. But this is a more tangible level. It is a little, because they don't know. It's hard. They're not in that zone. They're not in that mindset. But the Beinoni, who is, and he really, his whole life is, he wants to be close to Hashem. And yet, upon real reflection, he realizes that he hasn't fought the war, at least not as strongly as we expect from the Kalsha B'Kalim. Because the Kalsha B'Kalim's war, if the Kalsha B'Kalim should choose to fight the war, it's going to be a huge war, because he has an unbelievable Yetzirah, and he's in a terrible environment. And the Beinoni comes to a conclusion that he hasn't come in close to fight that war. He might be practically doing better, but he hasn't come close to fighting that war. The third thing he has to come to realization is, that's actually worse. He's actually worse than the Kalsha B'Kalim, right? So three stages. Don't judge him. You might be the same, not only the same, but actually worse. And therefore, that's a way to become Shval Ruach, be humble, truly humble, in front of every single person. This is probably one of the hardest prokim to apply. You know?
Because in a way, it's a disincentive. I know it isn't.
Yeah. Why? Because like it's like no point, right?
Yeah. No, if you can get away with being marketplace guy.
Oh, this is happening for him. Yeah, but we're not talking about the Kosh Club. We're talking about the Benjamin.
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying it's...
Yeah, I understand. Of course. I understand that. But yeah, but it's not. That's why the Altar put that in. Like, I don't want this to be misinterpreted that it's an excuse for the guy in the marketplace. It's not. But we talk about the Benjamin, how he's looking at the marketplace guy, right? In other words, we talk about the person who's looking at other people that on the surface he is better than the other person. And Altar was saying, no, you're not. Can't judge. You might be the same and you might be worse. I mean, this fits into what Chazal tell us, right? Chazal tell us that generally Hashem is much stricter with tzaddikim. The more righteous you are, the more strict Hashem is with you because you know better. It's true. And that's not an incentive to become worse. It's just an incentive to try harder. Right? But it does create humility. In other words, don't be humble. It's a very difficult thing because it's easy to be, the previous parak was easier. It's very easy between you and yourself to bash yourself up and to berate the Nefesh HaBamis and understand and cry to Hashem that you really want to come closer and to deal with your Timtum Halev like that. But when it comes to how you are with other people, that's much more difficult. That's just the fact. I tell a story. About a person who was considered very humble in a shtetl. So a guy who was very shtetl, what did he say? He wanted to make himself very, very humble. So he came before Yom Kippur and he got up in front of the whole shul and he started saying, I sin, I'm nothing, I'm a nothing, I'm a nothing. So some simple guy saw that was the way to the tshuva. He also got up in front of the shul and he also started saying, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. So this other guy looked at him in disdain and said, Eichemer, I'm nothing. What kind of nothing are you? Like, it was a kind of chutzpah. It's like, it belongs to me kind of thing, right? Yeah, so that's like the joke. That's not really humble, right? So this is the thing, yeah. But again, we always say this, and I always like to explain this, that this is a very tough reflection. And as I told you before, there was that chassid that took, he said it took him 20 years to actually really internalize this. It's one thing having the mindset, but it's another thing to actually feel that way. And by the way, it's a complicated thing on many levels. First of all, there is another concept that we're also supposed to inspire other people, right? To the point that there is a mitzvah in the Torah, right? There's a mitzvah in the Torah of reprimanding other people, right? Now, of course, you have to do it nicely and so on, but it's, in other words, if I'm nothing and I'm worse than other persons, so why should I get into put on tefillin? Why should I get into keep Shabbos? Why should I get into eat kosher, right? Let me work on myself. It's not the way it works. Two things don't contradict each other. In other words, you inspire someone else because that's my job. Everyone's job. That we call this all our ravens ever there. We're responsible for each other. We have an neshama. Sometimes we have a principle that says that a prisoner cannot free themselves and needs someone else to open the door and free them. So therefore, if we see that another yid could do a mitzvah that they're not doing, and we have the opportunity to inspire them to do the mitzvah, we have to do that. Because every yid should do all the mitzvahs. Right? But that doesn't mean as I do that, because I'm thinking I'm doing it because I'm better, I do the mitzvah. That's not the point. Point is, you could be much greater than me, but still I have a responsibility to expose you to doing a mitzvah, to inspire you to become better. But for myself, I need to understand, that doesn't mean that before that person does the mitzvah, he's lower than me. He's not. It could be that he's fighting against the horror, that he's war against the horror, he's even better than me. Maybe that step that he took and the progress he's making is better than my progress. Right? So the two things don't contradict. And secondly, what we're learning in this parak, in fact the last two parakim, again, does not contradict the idea of simcha. Right? And we're going to talk about it in the next parak also. How you can have that simcha, in other words, we can have both things together. We can feel that humility, that lowliness, we can break the Nefesh HaBamis from time to time. We can really berate our Nefesh HaBamis, as explained in the last parak. And we can feel very distant, and yet we can be tremendously besimcha, because at the end of the day, deep down, our real identity is the Nefesh HaLakis. That's who we really are. Bepnimius, in a more internal way. And even the part of me that's not, and that's so low, but it's Hashem that wants, He wants me. He wants me to do His mitzvah. He wants me to say tilim. He wants me to daven. He wants me to put on tefillin. He wants me to light Shabbos candle. That's this nothing. Hashem wants this nothing. In fact, later on in Tanya, a little bit later, he'll explain why actually brings even more simcha. Because the whole point of creation is dira b'tachtoinim, is dwelling, having a dwelling place down here, right? Like I think one person once said, once shot, you know, there's a Gemara that says, "Bishvili nivra ha'ila." Person say, "The world is created for me." And that's a difficult passage because it seems like arrogant. Well, the world's created for me. Okay, so many things I've spoken about it before on Thursday morning. What it means, but there are many different interpretations. But the Chassidim used to say, "What's pshat?" The world Chassid wants it like this. He said, "What does it mean that the world's created for me?" Very simple. So Hashem wanted to make a dirbet, he wanted to make a dwelling place in the lowest world, meaning the lowest world, that there's nothing lower than this world, right? So therefore, in this world itself, there could be higher and lower. So the more lower you are, the more you are the intention of the creation. So since there's nothing lower than me, so therefore, I'm the cover, the world was created for me. When I can bring Hashem even to this lowliness, that's fulfilling Hashem's name, right? Because at the end of the day, right, it goes like that. Because at the end of the day, we once spoken about this. If you go through this parak and you start to feel bad, then it's missing the point. Because it's not about you. It's about you doing whatever you can to connect to the fire of the neshama. But it's about you serving Hashem. So even if I come to the conclusion that I'm the lowest of the low, let's say, right? And I'm lower than every other people, and I internalize this message, so I'll break the nefesh abamis a little bit, but that shouldn't stop me from doing a mitzvah with simcha. Because it's not about me. It's not about me being a good guy, a bad guy. It's not about me. It's about Hashem's ratzon. Hashem wants you to do a mitzvah, you should do the mitzvah. And serve Him properly. A method of that is feeling humble, so you should feel humble too. But it's not a contradiction to the simcha of doing a mitzvah. Every time you do a mitzvah, you come close to Hashem. Every mitzvah is a connection to Hashem. You look confused, Robin.
No.
Okay, good. And that was always the perspective of great Chassidim, right? I mean, some of them I saw. They were always unbelievable simcha. Not because they didn't understand this part of Tanya, I did. I always bring a Mendel Futter first. He was the most humble guy. He was once, I saw a video of him once. He was once traveling in California. He was living there at Israel. He was traveling in California. He was also used to sometimes go and collect money for the yeshiva in Israel. And he said to people, he lived in a place in California that was a very empty, like it was a very, not a very Jewish town, but there was a Chabad Shliach there. And he stayed with him for two, him and Rabbi Reichel, the two great Hasidim. Different style, but two great Hasidim. So no minyan or anything, but he stayed there. So he got up in the morning and he started to prepare for davening. He started very beautifully. I remember him davening. He was like, yeah. And this Shliach put up a video camera and he started videoing him. He wanted his children to see. Actually, I'm happy that it's a beautiful video to see. I'm prepared for davening, and I daven, it's beautiful. At the beginning, this guy, this Chassid, Rabbi Mendel Futter, sees that he's reading him, he says, "Well, what are you doing?" He says, "That's superficiality, it's chitzoni, that's why are you doing this?" So the guy tries to be a smart aleck, so he says to him, "I don't know, what they used to video, the Rebbe davening." He says, the Rebbe, I'm just nothing. And he meant it, like, so it's just, this is external stuff. He says, so the guy was, he was challenging him, he says to him, but what do you mean you're nothing? The Rebbe always just talk about the greatness of every yid. He said, there's a chayin. He says, listen to me. He says, of course the Rebbe has to say that. That's the Rebbe. But I know that ich bin a garnished. I'm nothing. But he meant it. It wasn't like, I mean, you could see he meant it. But he was full of simcha because he knew that this garnished Hashem wants me to daven to him.
Because it's related to purpose.
Here. In other words, because he was humble, it goes together actually. In other words, if you know you're nothing and you feel upset, then you're not humble. It's actually an arrogance. What do you mean, like... You're upset because you know something. Why is the you so important here? Understand? You got to know you're nothing because you're nothing. Because Hashem is everywhere and you're nothing and you've done things you shouldn't have done. You have enough shabamis and you clip and therefore that'll let the once you know you're nothing, it'll unblock the enough shabamis to let in the fire of Hashem. But that shouldn't disturb your simcha. He at the same minute he was smiling. He says, "I know I'm a garbage," and he meant it. But Hashem wants this garnish to daven for him, and he wants him to daven with simcha. He didn't say that, but that was the implied message. Understand? So, that's, anyway, that was always the perspective. All right, we're on track here. I want to finish to a certain parak before for Elul, and then we'll take a break, but it'll be a good place to stop. I think we're on track. Good.
Thank you.